You're back with Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. About a year from now, if all goes well, the MAVEN mission will blast off for Mars, and scientists from the University of Colorado Boulder will be leading it. The CU team also designed special equipment aboard to study the red planet's very thin atmosphere. CU Boulder planetary scientist David Brain joins us to talk about a big question, and that is, what happened to make Mars lose most of its atmosphere? David, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And I'm sure people tell you all the time that Brain is the best name ever for a scientist.
Well, it has its perks, I guess, but I have to say that it's not my fault that I have the name. But I'll take it now that I have it.
Well, tell us why you are interested in the atmosphere, or what's left of it, on Mars.
We're interested in the atmosphere of Mars because of what it can tell us about how the planet evolved over time, and whether the planet evolved from a place that was habitable, like Earth. And so we can study the atmosphere to tell us not only what processes are happening today at Mars, but how Mars has evolved over time, over billions of years.
Why does it matter fundamentally whether there was life on Mars? I understand. You've been thinking about this since you were a kid. Is that right?
Yes, that's true. I mean, I first caught the Mars bug when I was in high school, but I've been interested in planets since elementary school. And the question of why it matters whether there was life on Mars bridges the gap between science and philosophy, I would say. We know of one planet total in the universe where life exists. And we're discovering new planets now every week. And we have hundreds of planets that we know of orbiting stars that are roughly similar to our own. But we don't know of any other world right now other than Earth where life exists. And I would say that it is really an important question, whether we are alone or whether life has developed elsewhere.
To have life, you need water, or at least that's what our science understands today. And so scientists have been trying to determine whether there was water on Mars. That's been going on for years. The MAVEN mission is focused, as we've said, on the atmosphere. What is the atmosphere able to tell us about the presence of water?
We know that water was more abundant on the surface of Mars billions of years ago than it was today. We have very strong evidence that this is the case. For example, river channels carved into the surface of Mars. So we know that the atmosphere long ago was capable of supporting liquid water at the surface for periods of time long enough to carve river channels into the surface. And this is just simply not true of the Martian atmosphere today. It's a very cold place. It gets up to maybe freezing temperatures on the warmest of summer days. It's an incredibly thin atmosphere. It's very inhospitable. And so the scientific community tries to understand what happened to change Mars from this place where you could have liquid water on the surface to a place where you cannot have liquid water today.
And the atmosphere is a natural place to look, isn't it?
Correct.
This MAVEN mission, as I understand it, will focus on something called the UPS. What are the UPS?
The UPS, that doesn't sound like a very scientific term, does it?
No.
And it's not a scientific term at all. I guess it's more of an informal term that some of us on the MAVEN team use when we're thinking about the atmosphere. And as I said earlier, we believe that the atmosphere has changed. Particles that were in the atmosphere are no longer there. And there are really only two places that particles in an atmosphere can go. They can either go down into the polar caps of the planet or in the subsurface of the planet, or they can go up and they can escape away to space, never to return to the planet. And so some of us like to say that the MAVEN mission is really focused on the UPS. What happens to particles that leave the atmosphere, leave the planet entirely, and escape to space?
This is versus the work of the Curiosity rover, which is, I don't know if this is the term, but it's focused on the downs, right?
You're right. There's a fundamental difference between Curiosity and MAVEN, and those differences are really complementary. So I hope that the two missions will be able to work very well together, and that's certainly the plan. So Curiosity has an instrument on it that will explicitly look for some of the downs. It will look for water in the subsurface. So in that sense, yes, Curiosity is focused on the downs, but there's some other instruments on Curiosity that sniff the atmosphere. But the key difference with MAVEN is that Curiosity is doing it at the surface of Mars, embedded deep down in the atmosphere. And MAVEN is sniffing at the top of the atmosphere, the very surface where the particles are escaping to space.
Well, let's talk about the equipment developed at Boulder that will help you do this atmosphere sniffing. I love how you put that. You built two instruments in particular, which have been delivered, both of them, I understand, a multi-million-dollar device is delivered to Lockheed Martin just south of Denver. Will you describe how these pieces of equipment will do their jobs?
Yes. So these two instruments have been delivered to Lockheed Martin in Denver, and they're two of the eight instruments on the MAVEN spacecraft. So one of the instruments is an ultraviolet spectrometer, and it measures light coming from the top of the atmosphere, not at visible wavelengths that we're accustomed to seeing, but at ultraviolet wavelengths.
And we know that depending on what kind of light is coming through, we know what kind of obstacles it's hitting.
Correct. And so more light will come through at one wavelength compared to another. And this can tell us what the composition is of the atmosphere. It can help us understand what the temperature is of particles in the upper atmosphere, and also how the different particles in the atmosphere are interacting. So this instrument has been delivered now to Lockheed and has actually been put onto the spacecraft and is going through some testing, is more or less left, I would say, the cradle where it was designed and built in Boulder, and is now ready to go make its measurements, which is an incredibly exciting point in the development of a mission when the instruments are leaving the lab and being put onto the spacecraft. And that's where we are now.
You use the word cradle, which makes me think this is your baby.
I think that although I did not build this instrument myself, I think that's a fair assessment of how they view the instruments. They really care very much about how the instruments are going to do, and they put years of effort into them, and I think they view them as their babies when they leave and get sent to the spacecraft.
And quickly, what's the second instrument?
It's a Langmuir probe with waves is the official title, but I like to think of it as the Swiss Army knife of the mission. It does an amazing number of things, and it's complementary to the ultraviolet instrument that I just said. The ultraviolet instrument looks at the atmosphere from afar and measures the light that's coming from it. The second instrument is on the MAVEN spacecraft, and as the spacecraft skims through the very upper layers of the atmosphere, it senses the properties of the atmosphere as the spacecraft passes through.
You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner, and we are talking about the MAVEN mission, which will blast off for Mars in about a year. It's got a lot of Boulder connections, including our guest. David Brain is a co-investigator, and he's a professor in the Laboratory for Atmospheric and Space Physics at CU Boulder. David, rumors were flying over the weekend ahead of a NASA press conference Monday about Mars. People thought some huge announcement was coming. Well, it wasn't. NASA had to tamp down expectations and released a statement saying, rumors of a major new finding at this early stage are incorrect. This just makes me think that there's a lot of interest in Mars discoveries right now. And I'd like to know from you what it's like to conduct science in an environment where it's not just the scientists who are interested in the answers.
It's wonderful when there is public interest in what you're doing. I think it really motivates you to work hard on the science. It energizes me every day that I can have a conversation with someone who is not in my field about what I do for a living. The flip side to that coin, which is a much smaller, I think, aspect, is that when it's clear people really care about the answers to the science questions that you're pursuing, you must be especially careful to make sure that you're correct.
This is where your work as a scientist looks a lot like our work as journalists. The last thing you want is the NASA equivalent of Dewey defeats Truman.
I agree, absolutely. And at some level, you can't sit on a result for too long or obsess over it forever. At some point, you have to share what you found and know that you've done the best job that you can possibly do.
David Brain, thank you for being with us.
Thanks again for having me. This was great.
Dave Brain is with the Laboratory for Atmospheric and Space Physics at CU Boulder. He talked to us about the MAVEN mission to Mars, which is scheduled to launch about a year from now.